Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 6? The Eden Project is a visitor's attraction in Cornwall, England. The inside of the building are the plants that they collected from various locations around the world, different environment as well as climate. The largest dome, this one, hold the rainforest environment, the plants of the rainforest. Second largest one is contain the Mediterranean plants and environment. It is a human attempt to copy, to human attempt to make a perfect environment of the original, the Garden of the Eden. Thus, the name is the Eden Project. The original Eden didn't go well, as you all know. Because the inhabitant, not the designer, inhabitant pretty much fouled up, right? It is their fault, not the designer's fault. But in this case, the Eden Project, not the inhabitant, the plants, but rather it's the designer's fault that it was not doing well. The smart people who put this Eden Project together make sure that there's no pollution, make sure that there's no disease, plant disease. And they even control the insect. But they notice the large tree leaves a wilting and branches are drooping. And they couldn't figure it out why we having this problem. So they called the tree expert. And tree expert looked around and with a close examination, they said, "You guys don't have a wind here. Everything is perfect, but wind is the one shift and move tree fibers that help the tree to bring up the nutrition and water from the root. So without the wind, without the resistance from the nature, this tree is pretty much sitting duck, dead in the place." All of us have gone through and are going through and will go through our share of a life's storm. If you are born again Christian, you go through them because the Lord allows them in our lives. The Lord is not allowing it because he's some sort of sadistic divine. Rather, he's perfecting us to be more like his son Jesus Christ. Because he is a loving and caring God, he wants us to be nourished, he wants us to grow, to be more like him, Jesus. Let's stop here and pray. Father, you are loving God, caring God. That's why you allowed us to face the perfecting storm. Not like some people think that you just enjoy punishing us. When we do wrong, you love us enough to punish us, to correct us. And you, when we do right, you still give us the challenge that we may turn to you and seek you and be guided by you. Father, we are asking you to open our heart, to give us the wisdom to understand the truth you have stored in your book, the Bible. Let us not look unto the man for their insight or their opinion, but let us look unto you, that you may give us what we need to do. Always turning to you, and always focusing on you, and looking for wisdom from you. Father, we pray for President Obama, for his salvation. And other leaders in this country who need to be touched by you, they may turn their heart over to you and seek you. And praying for the election, your hand to be upon it. And we praying for our soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen, and Coast Guard. And we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. I heard that another police officer got killed Father, you protect them. You keep them safe. It seems like somebody declared open season against them. You be their shield, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14 of chapter 6 in the book of John, please. Last week, we studied about the feeding 5,000 men plus women, and their women and children, close to 20,000 people. And the story goes on from verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said that this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Stop there, please. Right after Jesus fed 5,000 men, and as I mentioned, their women and the children, with a 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small sardines, people they were totally stoked. They were jazzed up. Jesus' approval rating is off the chart. Any politician would just love to have that thing. Don't you think? And so they thought, let him be a king. As long as he's a king, we will have a free, fish and chips. Why not? I'm sure that the disciple was thinking, this is cool. This is nice. Our Lord, our master become the king. We will be his cabinet member. And Judas was thinking, of course, I'll be the treasurer. I will hold the purse of the kingdom. They were daydreaming. And to be rich quickly and famous and powerful. But Jesus refused to follow his kingdom this way. Instead, he departed again to the mountain, as we just read, by himself alone. Jesus was more interested in being with the Father in heaven than in hearing the applause of the carnal crowd. People are fickle. Did you notice? The one whom you love right now can turn against you quickly if they don't like you. Go down to verse 16, please. When evening came, his disciple went down to the sea and got into the boat. Went over the sea toward Capernaum. Note that word, Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. In other words, the disciples were in the boat all alone. I told you to put your finger in the one of the area of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Mark, the author Mark, picked up the little more details that John did not include. Chapter 6, verse 45, please. Immediately, one of the favorite words that Mark used, immediately, Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, Bethsaida. While he sent a multitude away. Okay, John, it said Capernaum. Here in Mark, it's Bethsaida. Oh, we found a contradiction in the Bible, right? What if I say, I'm going to go to Tucson, but to someone else, I said, I'm going to go to Valencia. Is that same direction? Capernaum is directly north of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida is a little bit about, if you put the Capernaum at 12 o'clock, Bethsaida is 11 o'clock. Same direction. By the way, in our Western mind, cross means it's directly, if it's like cross is this or this, right? In Eastern mind, this is a cross. Keep that in mind. Don't think that cross is always going all the way across. This diagonally because they were living from the northeast toward northwest, or simply north. It's much easier to go that way. It's a shorter distance. Disciple wanted to hang around with this 5,000 people and basking in the glory, as if it's something they've done. But the Lord told him to get in the boat and leave now. Isn't that the life? We set agenda. We got it all planned out. I'm going to do this, do this, do this, and I'm going to have a 5-year plan. I'm going to have a 10-year plan. All this. Cool. And then the Lord threw a curveball. And where did that thing come from? And you don't even like it. Have you been there? And then you're asking God, Lord, that's not what I had in mind. And the Lord look at you like, so? Hello? Who is in charge? We'll talk about that. Why did Jesus do this to his disciples? You see, feeding 5,000 was the lesson. But the boat ride in the storm was a pop quiz. After the storm. Bummer, huh? Any of you guys, the genius people, like the pop quiz when you were in high school? Raise your hand. Any of you guys, you actually like the pop quiz? I hate you. Yeah, smart people like pop quiz so they can, yeah, I got that thing right. And when my teacher said pop quiz, verse 18, chapter 6 in John. Then the sea arose because the great wind was blowing. Remember, this is the Sea of Galilee. On the east side, northeast side, there is Mount Hermon, high mountain. And blowing the cold air to this Sea of Galilee. It's about 716 feet below sea level. And from the west, Mediterranean Sea, blowing the warm air. Guess what happened on the sea when the cold air and warm air collide, swirling. And there, all of a sudden, there is a nasty storm. Everyone in this room know that what it's like to have a wave of worries rise up, enveloped by the darkness of the isolation and fear. Just like these disciples were experiencing here. We all have storms of life. James called it various trial, and then he had the nerve to say, enjoy it. Yeah, sure, James. I really hate to admit this, guys. We learn best when we go through difficulties in our lives. Not in cozy and perfect condition like the Eden Project. When everything is going well, we tend to not to rely on the Lord. However, when the things start to fly in every which way but the direction we want them to go, we cry out to the Lord in prayer and cling unto Him for His help. Are you with me on that? We learn to trust Him, walk close to Him during the trials, and we grow. Sometimes we are caught in the storm because we disobey the Lord. Remember the prophet Jonah? And he said, God said, go to Nineveh. So he went to the other direction. And he got swallowed up by the fish. And he was singing Yellow Submarine in the fish's stomach. And I know what Bible says. My translation is, fish puked him out on the shore. And he had a seaweed wrapped around his head like a California roll, and with a face pale like a paper, and telling people, repent in Nineveh. I'm sure people repent. Okay, if we don't repent, we're going to look like you. Oh, yeah, I will repent. He brought storm to himself. But what about the people like a Job? He was righteous man. Or disciples, right here. For change, they were doing what they were told to do. Then Jesus made them go into the boat, cross, so they were doing what they were told to do. And the storm comes. Then what? And you may say, I'm a child of God. I'm doing everything within my power, walk right with God, and this thing comes. Why, God? Remember? Lesson and pop quiz? Training period. Did they not do what Jesus told them to do? Yes, they did. Were they not in His will? Yes, they were. Why then does the Lord give them a storm? A great question I cannot answer because I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why. But I do know one thing clearly. Even if you are a dedicated child of God, doing the will of God every day, the perfecting storm still comes to you to shape you, to mold you, to transform you into the image of God. Are you with me on this? If you're a child of God, He will not leave you alone as you were. He will change you into the image of God. You can make a plan, and you should. You can set your agenda, and you should. But just understand that if you write the script of your life, God always has the editing rights and the final say, because He has the final authority. Say with me, final authority. You don't like it? You can always tell God, I don't want to be a part of you. But the end result will be miserable. Go down to verse 9, please. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, this is in the middle of the storm, they saw Jesus walking in the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. But He said to them, It is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the boat. Immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Since they were 3 or 4 miles from the distance, there was right smack dab in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And remember, it's not something they can see the shoreline in the middle of the stormy weather. That's not very good condition. The majority of people, including many Christians, think that individuals are in charge. You are in charge of your own life. Somebody else is in charge of their own life. It's all that way. You know, if you're an unbeliever, that is true. You can think whatever you want to think, even though you are wrong. But as a believer of Jesus Christ, it's a different story. As a born-again believer, you must come to the realization you are not in charge of your own lives, rather it is the Lord Jesus. The sooner you realize it and accept the fact, the sooner you get to enjoy His guidance and His peace in your life. Remember what I told you before? Whenever you argue with God, whenever you fight against God, that proves that who is wrong. That proves that who is wrong. God? You. Me. There are 3 things I want you to notice what the Lord does for us during our perfecting storm. Number one, He prays for us. He prays for us. Say it with me. He prays for us. All right, back to verse 15. It says, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. What did He do up in the mountain throughout the night? While His disciples were struggling in the sea against this miserable storm? For the answer, we need to go to Matthew chapter 14. And you are wondering, my finger is going numb. Now you can move that finger. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when He, that's Jesus, sent the multitude away, He went up on the mountain by Himself, what? To pray. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus was praying for His disciples to His Father in heaven. Because if we find Him praying for His disciples throughout the Gospels, He was interceding for them as He is interceding for us. Did you get that? He not only interceded for His disciples, He is interceding for you, every one of you, if you are born again Christian. And you are thinking, I'm not so sure. Well, since you asked that, go to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Don't you just love the sound of these flipping pages? You know, when you go to some churches, they don't do that. They don't have that sound because it's all on the screen. And people don't even bring the Bibles to church. Therefore, He is also able to save the utmost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make what? Intercession for them. Did you get that? Jesus is praying for you right now. Doesn't that make you feel good? You know, as a pastor, time to time, I have this pleasure. Somebody coming to me, the Lord laid in my heart that I should pray for you, so I've been praying for you. You know, I get encouraged by that. But you know what's better? Knowing that my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for me every moment on behalf of me to the Father in heaven from the right side of the Father. Amen. You cannot beat that. Jesus rocks, don't you think? Amen. All right, second point, He sees. First one was He what? Prays for us. Second one is He sees. Again, Mark, go back to Mark, fills in a little more detail for John than John for us. Mark chapter 6, verse 47. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. He was alone on the land. Then He what? What? Okay, this is He saw the disciples, a little tiny boat in the middle of the sea at night, 3-4 miles away. Think about that. Them straining rowing, for the wind was against them. From the mountaintop at night, Jesus sees, that's not possible. Okay, I'm almost 60. If I take my glasses off and somebody's standing 100 feet away, I cannot see their facial expression or what they look like exactly. Oh, by the way, it's good to see you, ma'am.
Nice to see you.
See, we have that kind of problem. For God, He doesn't need no stinking night vision goggle. He can see everything. Why? Because He's omniscient, omnipotent God. Amen. Don't put God in the same level. And people say, well, that's not possible. Of course it's not possible because He's God and we are not. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Our memory verse. There is no creature hidden from His sight, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Guys, if you have that pornography magazine somewhere in the garage, somewhere in the wherever you are hiding, God knows. You better chuck it when you go home. Or videotape. I'm still living in the 70s. DVD or whatever you call it. You're looking at that kind of thing? You think nobody knows? What you're hiding is open scandal in heaven. God knows all things. All right, third thing. First, Jesus prays for us, right? And the second, He sees. And here, He comes. Okay, back to the Mark chapter 6, verse 48, second half. Now about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. You know, I'm not going to even make a big deal about Jesus walking on the sea. He's God. He doesn't need life jacket. He doesn't need somebody lifting him up from under the water. Or like a Benny Hinn He actually did this. He put the plate of glass underneath of the, and he walked on water in Sea of Galilee. I don't know what to say about that guy. It's not a big deal. Well, what makes a big deal is the rest of the story. The important point is he came to them at the fourth watch of the night. So, okay, what time is it? Ancient Jewish time starts, they divide into four sections at night. Start from the 6 o'clock evening until 9 o'clock. That's the first watch. From 9 o'clock at night until midnight is the second watch. And from the midnight until 3 a.m. in the morning is third watch. And the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m. In other words, they've been, think with me, when Jesus told them to get in the boat, that was somewhere around the sunset time. They got in the boat. In other words, they've been rowing for 8 to 10 hours. By now, they are exhausted. And why didn't Jesus come to them earlier? I don't know. But in his infinite wisdom, he chose that time to come to him. When Jesus come to you, God come to you, rescue, and you say, it's too late. No, it's not too late. In our mind, it might be too late. To him, it is perfect time. The Lord Jesus would have come over to them at the beginning of the storm. But he waited until there is absolutely no way that anyone could do anything to bail them out. This applies in our lives. Yes, God can bail us out of the trials and tests of our lives anytime he wants. But he waits until we have absolutely no way to turn to others. Then he steps in. In that way, no one can take the credit other than God. Because we have a tendency to do something stupid. I know, my wife tells me that don't use that word. But it's in the Bible, honey. 3 times in the book of Proverbs. We have a tendency to do everything else, and then we say, there's nothing for me to do except prayer. Prayer should not be a last resort. Are you with me? It should be the first thing we do. Seek God. I made so many mistakes. I thought, oh, I'm going to handle this. You know what? When I said, I'm going to handle this, the Lord let me. And let me fall flat on my face. Have you ever done that? Oh, yeah. If you say, no, I've never done that, you're lying through your teeth. Go back to Matthew chapter 14, please. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. We would say the same thing probably. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Did you get that? Come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus, when he saw that wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him and saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The Apostle John skipped this portion. Okay, this is just a side story, no extra charge. You see, Apostle John and Apostle Peter, they They were kind of rivals. And later we'll find out after Jesus was resurrected and Mary went back to them and notified them, hey, tomb is empty. They ran, both ran. And John specified the disciple whom Jesus loved got there first. Who's that? John. Why did he say it in his own book, I got there first? At the same time, the instant Peter walked on water, he said, okay, I'm not going to talk about that thing, while Matthew and Mark talk about it. Yes, they are godly men. Yes, they are godly apostles, but still human. No extra charge. When Jesus was walking on water, why didn't the disciple recognize him as their Lord Jesus? Because they were not looking for him. They were not expecting him to walk on water. Their thoughts were preoccupied with something other than Jesus. What's the reason? And this applies as well. Many people tell me that they don't hear from God. What's the reason? They were expecting some other way to hear from God. Like a loud, booming voice, like a Charlton Heston's big, loud bass voice. Certainly not my kind of voice. And God would speak to them like that. Or writing this neon sign on the sky. Or send this Michael the Archangel and speak to them directly. Or like that televangelist from South Korea said, Jesus showed up in person in green uniform. Wow. Is he a pea green giant with a pea can holding in his hand? No. Do you know how God speaks to you? Do you know why I tell you, insist you, demand you to read this thing every day? You put this word in your heart. That's how God speaks to you. Also, he speaks to you through godly men and women's godly advice. Not written on the sky, not some crazy way. Disciples did not recognize him as Jesus because they did not expect him that way. How could Peter walk on water? He was not walking on water, surface of water. Rather, he was walking on the word of Jesus in faith. The word, one word, come, literally support the weight of Peter. Because he believed that what Jesus said is good enough, he stepped into the water. And the word from Jesus was supporting him. When the difficulty of our lives make such a boisterous storm around us, it is not that difficult to take our eyes off our Master Jesus and look at the situation. Don't look down on Peter. We would do the same thing. The problem with that is the situation goes from bad to worse. Do you know why? Because our faith in God get pushed out of the equation. Like in Peter's case, as his doubts step into his mind, the faith steps out. They are mutually exclusive and cannot coexist. Speaking of coexist, I'm going to get on the soapbox for a minute. Some people may ask me, are we ever going to work together for the good humanitarian effort with the other churches, other denominations, or other faith, other religion? You know, you heard the word interfaith, right? What's wrong with that? Very much wrong. So, to you answer your question is yes and no. Yes, there are many churches we would love to work with, but there are many denominations, under the name of a mainstream Christianity, I would not work with them. Why? Because they discard what this Bible says. Certainly will not work with other religions. No inner faith. If you have something in your mind that we should work together with in with the other religion in a faith, no. Don't even bother to ask me over my dead body. Because you may say, isn't that harsh? No, let me put it this way. What the light got to do with the darkness? It's unequally yoked. God says, don't do that. Do you know why the Lord punished Israel? Because they brought the Baal God into the, where? Temple. They didn't reject God. They just tried to do, in our faith, what's wrong with that? Can we just get along? Yeah, we have a problem with getting along with the evil. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. This word translate, the word Tao carries the meaning of a standing or uncertainty, certainly, at two ways. Peter started out with a great faith, ended up with a little faith. Because he saw two ways, instead of holding on to one solid way. What was the motive that Peter walking on water? I know, a lot of Bible teachers talk bad about him. Let me put it this way. In my opinion, he wanted to go closer to God, his master. So he stepped out of faith, out of boat, into the water. Now, Jesus' disciple came to the new point of view regarding Jesus. They said, truly, you are the Son of God. And you may say, so what? When the Israelis said that you are the Son of God, it means you are God. Unfortunately, their opinion didn't last long. Five applications. Yes, we are almost there, so hold your horse. First application. Be prepared for the God's examination of our faith after spiritual victory in our lives. Remember what I said? After the lesson, there are pop quiz. Number two, even if we are dedicated children of God, a perfecting storm still comes our way to shape us, to mold us, to transform us into the image of who? That's right. Third application. Just understand that if we write the script of our life, God always reserves the editing right and final say, because He has fourth application. The sooner we accept and obey the fact that we are not in charge of our lives but the Lord, the sooner we get to have His peace in our heart. Final. Don't count on when the pastor or preacher says final. It doesn't mean anything. During the storm of our life, our Lord Jesus prays for us and what? Sees us and come to us to rescue us in His time. His time. Say it with me. His time.